Informed Dissent, brought to you by Firearm Training Associates.
Firearms Training Associates is a lucky company because we have been able to draft in some of the best instructors in the world. We have special operations guys. We have guys from the U.S. military, from foreign militaries that work for us. They provide a great deal of insight into self-defense. So we developed this so that our customers could come on the weekends and get the best training in the world. We pride ourselves on our civilian training. It's our armed civilian that's one of the most important things to us. We want to teach them how to survive dangerous situations. When you come through the course, as long as you're performing at an acceptable level, you're going to get a certificate that puts our stamp on it. And we take it serious when we put our stamp on there. When you get our gold label, that means that you've passed the class that you've attended.
Firearm Training Associates, proud sponsor of Informed Dissent. Find out more at FTATV.com.
Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics, with Dr. Jeff Barkey, board-certified primary care physician, and Dr. Mark McDonald, board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist.
Well, Mark, great to be with you on another episode of Informed Dissent. If you don't have a penis, are you a woman?
Let me think about that for a minute. The answer to that is no.
Not necessarily.
No, not necessarily, because you could have had it cut off.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make you a woman.
No, so it doesn't.
I think what makes you a woman is not the absence of a penis.
What does make you a woman?
Well, as Matt Walsh would say, being an adult female makes you a woman. And I believe that even the Mali tribesmen found that question to be so ridiculous and absurd that they began mocking him when he filmed his movie in sub-Saharan Africa. It's only intellectuals that actually debate the question about what is a woman and what is a man, because it's so profoundly basic to our orientation as human beings. And the fact that this has become a question and a debate and an argument shows how delusional we've become and how distracted from reality. And as Dennis Prager would often say, and does often say, how bored we are. You must be really bored to be preoccupied with that question. And we haven't been this bored for all of humankind because we've been focused on surviving. We've been focused on taming the elements, on obtaining food and shelter, on protecting ourselves and our families from physical attack and assault by other people. And then more recently, on growing our economy and our standard of living in the last 100 years after industrialization and the Second World War. It's really only recently that we've had the time and the lack of pressing concerns in our society to become preoccupied with such a stupid question. And I believe, you know, having traveled along with you actually throughout a lot of countries that are really struggling to move into the 21st century in Central and Southeastern Europe, the only countries that have people that are preoccupied with this question are really those in the affluent West Anglophone world. Nobody even cares about this outside of New Zealand, Australia, England, the United States, Canada, and even Western Europe doesn't even care about this. So there's something very pathognomonically sick about our country in particular and our culture that we're expending time and energy debating and arguing about what makes a woman and what makes a man a man.
No doubt. And speaking of penises, you don't actually have to have one to go train at Firearms Training Associates, who is one of our favorite sponsors of our show. As a matter of fact, they have women only. Defined genetically, if you have an XX chromosome, you're a woman, and you can join a woman's only Firearms Training Associates training event. And they have co-ed, they have men only, women only, and it's one of our favorite sponsors. We've both been there training to up our game learning the skill of firearms. And in August, I'll be there teaching a course on tactical medicine and surviving gunshot wounds. What's that date, Mark?
August 13th, Sunday.
Sunday, August 13th. Come join me.
At Firearms Associates, Jeff, they guarantee that you will leave with the same number of holes that you arrived with.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly my point. So you're right. It is, you know, listen, we talk about these things tongue in cheek, but it's deadly serious because there's going on as we speak across the country. There are places where as a minor or even not a minor, you will have a perfectly, you can have a perfectly healthy body part removed by a surgeon. And I think that's wrong. If I went to a surgeon and said, you know, I'd really like to be a guy with only one arm, just because I think it would be super cool. No surgeon in his right mind would take a healthy arm off. They would lose their license, likely be thrown in jail. But if I go in as a man and say, I'd really like you to remove my penis because I think it would be cool, and I'm a woman trapped inside a male's body, it seems to be in some areas perfectly acceptable to have that surgery, and I don't think it should be. And especially when you talk about minor children, under no circumstances should we allow that to happen. It's basically mutilation, and that includes not only surgery, but the use of hormone-suppressing medication and puberty blockers, because it's not a benign process. It can cause permanent damage, cause infertility problems. It can cause liver damage, kidney damage, and scar that person for life if at some point they change their mind that they made a mistake. I think we're making a huge mistake in how we allow this to occur in certain deranged people that can permanently affect children and adults.
I've been thinking a lot about this subject for some time now because it is the topic in our society today. And I'm starting to see some parallels between the transgender movement and the pandemic response of the last 3 years. What I mean by that is that there appear to be two groups of people involved in the transgender movement, just like there were two groups of people involved in the pandemic movement. The first group, which I see as really victims, are the mentally ill. And I believe that these primarily young girls, preteens and teens, who are being sucked into this movement through social media primarily, and then secondarily, very abusive and truly evil therapists, doctors, clinicians, and clinical corporations. These people are really unwell. They have an illness similar to body dysmorphia or anorexia. They should be called patients and they should be treated with compassion and given actual mental health care. But the other group, which is driving this, are really sick people in the sense that they're sick morally. And I think they're really opportunists. And these are people that include those driving this from on high, which are doctors, clinicians, media, corporations, Kaiser. Kaiser has been pushing this for several years now, is being sued, fortunately, in Oakland in class action lawsuits by those that they victimized. And also, interestingly, men who can't compete in life as men and therefore pretend to be women on a superficial level so that they can garner some narcissistic acclaim, such as Lila Thomas, or the man who goes by the name Lila Thomas, who's been winning swim competitions because he's a mediocre male swimmer. He can't compete against men, so he's now going and beating up on young girls and young women by swimming faster than they can. This is exactly what happened during the pandemic. We had a group of Americans who were not morally bad, perhaps a bit weak-kneed, but became victimized and led astray into believing that they were something that they weren't. Just like these young girls are led to believe that they're boys when they're not. We had all these Americans, about 50, 60% of Americans, especially urban Americans, taught and then instructed to believe that they were at risk for some virus that was not going to harm them, much less kill them. And so they began to do all these horrible things to their bodies, to their psyche, to their children, to their family and friends, to protect themselves from something that was not a risk. And they were victimized by these opportunists who knew better, who were in positions of power, but wanted more power because they just couldn't hack it as morally upright Americans, like Lila Thomas, for example, who's not morally upright. He's a narcissist. So Anthony Fauci is sort of the equivalent of that. The people that are running corporations that wanted to destroy the competition by shutting down all of the mom and pop shops and small businesses, the people that are running the chain restaurants and the Targets and the supermarket chains and the liquor chains, the media, the people who were lying to us and censoring us and blocking content that they deemed to be misinformation, which was really just the truth all along. I really think that, and I've said this before, that we're going into a series of battles that all look like they're completely distinct, but they're all based on the same idea and the same premise, which is that there are a group of people who are really leading an immoral crusade to harm the rest of us. And they're victimizing different groups in concert and in succession. And the current group that is being the most victimized are young kids and children through the transgender activism movement. That's the new victim class. But the ideology that's being used to victimize them and the people that are doing it are the same people that victimized the rest of America between 2020 and 2023.
And the children are also being victimized in the COVID scam as well. I'm involved in a case right now. It's out of Philadelphia. It's a five-year-old kid. Mom is an RN, wants the kid to get the COVID jab, and dad does not want the kid to get the COVID jab. You can imagine which side I'm representing. And of course, you know, it's a divorced family and the parents disagree and they're going to court to let a judge decide whether or not a child should be injected with this biologic, genetic, therapeutic chemical against a disease that he's not at risk with long-term consequences that just simply are unknown. And it's unfortunate that we even have this discussion, but it's really the children that are the victims of adults whose energy is misplaced and misguided. And it's interesting because I think the majority of those adults are godless, secular people that have nothing else to focus on but whatever their obsession du jour is at the time. And recently it was COVID. It's going to evolve into something else, and it could be, you know, the war on energy, the war on coal, global warming, whatever you want to call it, or there'll be something else that will come up because they have no meaning. They have no existential meaning in their life. And so they have to focus on whichever is the activist activity of the time, unfortunately.
Well, you just pointed out a legal issue that is exactly paralleling what I just said with the movement towards adopting transgenderism as the new anvil to use to beat up on children. You're describing a legal case involving a divorcing couple who are trying to, one of whom I suppose is trying to abuse the child by pushing a toxic, unnecessary substance into the child's body. Well, what has the California state legislature recently done? On the same level with the transgender debate, they have passed a law that when a divorcing couple has a disagreement about the gender identity of the child, the state can remove the child from the parent's custody of the parent who does not subscribe to the child's purported gender identity. In other words, if a parent stands up for a boy being a boy or a girl being a girl, and the other parent says, no, my girl is a boy or my boy is a girl, the state then intervenes and removes the child and then takes possession of that child, custodial rights away from the parent that's actually standing up for biology and common sense. I can see the next step. This really terrifies me. The next step legally in California is going to be any couple, divorced or not, that has a child that says he or she is transgender, and both parents agree that that child should not be given puberty blockers or genital mutilation surgery or chemical castration of any sort and wants to affirm that the girl is a girl or the boy is a boy against the child's wishes, the state will then jump in and remove that child from the home and put that child into state custody, because there's no difference morally between removing a divorcing couple's child or removing the child from a married couple. Once we agree to the one, why not agree to the next? I see absolutely no difference. It's just a slippery slope. But once you start sliding down that slope, essentially, we as a state have legally agreed that the state now has ownership of our children on every level, and specifically when it comes to this transgender debate. That is really scary.
And we wonder why people are moving out of California.
I can't imagine why.
Now, there's a law I thought that was passed in the last few years that says if your kid has some sort of gender confusion, you're not allowed to take them to a counselor or a psychiatrist to get counseling to sort that out.
There is a law. I believe it's a law. I know that it's a principle that has been agreed upon by the licensing boards for all of the therapists here in the state of California. It's always confusing to me which is a licensing board rule and which is a law, because now politics and medicine are so intertwined that you can't even unwrap the two. But essentially, it is no longer professionally possible, at risk of having your license taken away, of course, in California, to treat a child who believes that he is a she or she is a he in affirming reality, if you don't collude with the child's mental illness. So the therapist is now being told that without agreeing to the delusional illness of the child, that therapist will lose his or her license. Similar to a doctor being told, if you don't agree that this woman who says her nose is too big or that she has actually identified as having three fingers instead of five, actually has three fingers in her reality, then you will be removed and you'll have your surgical license taken away unless you operate on her. It's exactly the same thing. So we're going after the doctors and the therapist as much as we're going after the parents. We're going after both sides that want to protect their children or their duties as physicians and therapists are being pushed away and removed and canceled and arrested and censored so that the state can then jump in and start abusing the children without anyone to protect them. That's really where the movement is going.
Well, certainly the American Psychiatric Association supports medical freedom and your right to counsel patients as you see fit, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the APA's formal position, and it has been now for, I think, about 4 or 5 years, is that every child's gender identity should be affirmed 100% by the presiding psychiatrist and never challenged or questioned. And in fact, the doctor should not look at the child as he or she is identified on his birth certificate, but rather what the child states he or she feels he or she is.
Well, wait, birth certificate. The American Medical Association has come out and said we should not put the child's gender on the birth certificate. There's no M for male or F for female.
That can't be true, Jeff.
We should leave it blank, and the parents and the child they leave that little space blank, and the parents and the child can fill that in when they think it's appropriate.
I don't even know why the birth certificate should have a species. I mean, why not just fill in the animal that you believe that you are? why should you be assigned human at birth if you're not assigned male or female? I mean, that's a pretty arrogant posture to take, to actually tell a baby that the baby is human. I mean, the baby should have the right to decide for himself what species he belongs to. Because as we all know, the sanctity of the baby is determined by whether or not the mother wants it or not. It has nothing to do with the baby itself.
Exactly.
If you kill the mother or her child when she wants to deliver, it's considered murder. But if you kill the baby that she wants to abort, then it's considered a medical procedure.
Yeah. So we're going to be discussing all these things and more. You and I have been invited to Pastor Rob McCoy's church, Godspeak, which is in Thousand Oaks in Southern California, to speak along with Riley Gaines, who is, of course, the swimmer that you were referencing earlier, who had to go up against a 6'1" male who won that competition, who was a transgender athlete. And it should be interesting. I'm sure it'll be sold out. And I'm looking forward to describing in detail what is a woman. And I'm sure you'll present the psychiatric, psychological aspect of this. And I look forward to meeting Riley Gaines in person. She's quite the hero, I think, for standing up and having the courage to speak out.
I'm going
to
hold up the photos, the explicit photos of what a woman is. And I'm going to have you use a pointer and elucidate what parts are the most important.
So what's next on Dr. McDonald's calendar? You were traveling a lot previously and you were staying in the homestead for a while.
I'm actually going to be in Washington, D.C. in a few weeks to meet up with the America's Frontline Doctors Group and Dr. Simone Gold as a summit revisiting where we both actually, you and I, more or less got our start back in early summer of 2020. I know we had spoken, you in particular had spoken a couple of times publicly before that, but our sort of national coverage really started in summer of 2020 when we went to DC, and we organized a medical freedom public service in front of the Supreme Court steps, which broke the internet and got all of the major news dissemination live outlets shut down for a number of hours because we had so many simultaneous views. I think it was up to 8, 9, 10 million views simultaneously, the most of any live feed in history. And I think 17 to 20 million refeeds and retweets and reposts within about 12 hours. So I'm going to be out there again for a couple of days to give a status report to the nation. What happened? What was the damage? How did it occur? And most importantly, and this is the subject that I think really needs to be considered by our side in this war more than any, is how do we take accountability as a nation for what happened in the last 3 years? Because without accountability, I don't think we can move forward. And it's a tricky question because there is one side that actually caused a lot of harm, and they are not taking accountability. So how do we move forward if the other side refuses to acknowledge their sins? If you have lost a child, if a man has murdered your daughter and he doesn't apologize to you or acknowledge what he did, how do you move forward? This is a really tough question, but it's a really important one because our side does not appear to be acknowledging that we were right and standing up in a unified and unison way to take pride over our victory. We are largely allowing the other side to just say, nothing to see here. Mistakes were made, third person passive voice. And then let's just move on. And as you can see, we're already moving into other problems, perhaps even worse ones, the transgender debate, children being harmed, the eco debate, our electricity, our freedom of movement, our ability to work, live, play, and live in our homes taken away. If we don't demand accountability, we are not going to be able to survive the next battle. So I think accountability is really the topic that I want to hammer away at now that we have 3 years of perspective into what happened and try to organize our side to think about this, not from the position of turning the other cheek and just saying, move on, let's forgive and forget. Let's not forgive. Let's not forget. Let's treat the last 3 years like the Jews treated the Holocaust. Let's not just say there were mistakes made and there were lives lost in World War II. No, never forget. I think that should be our new motto, because if you don't adopt never forget, you're going to have another genocide. And that's what's going to happen in the future if we forget about what happened in 2020.
100% agree. I've got a whole presentation titled Remember What They Did, A Lesson in Government Tyranny. And if you're listening, by the way, and you want me or Mark to come out and speak, give us a shout out, send us an email, especially if you're local. Mark loves to travel. Just kidding. And we're happy to try to spread the word. For the record, we were right. COVID was bullshit. It was treated in a way that it never should have been treated. The vaccine is garbage. No one in their right mind should ever receive that vaccine. It's not even a vaccine. It's a genetic biologic that doesn't stop infection, doesn't stop transmission, and we have treatment. It's easy to treat this illness. I would say at least 50%. I know Peter McCullough thinks 80% of the folks that died from this illness should never have died if they had access to early treatment. I am convinced of it. Unfortunately, even today, when people get COVID and I want to use one of those forbidden medicines, hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, I still can't get it from a traditional pharmacy. I have to get it through a compounding pharmacy, even today, and it's ridiculous. So some of this tyranny continues. I agree, we can't forget what they made us do and what we allowed them to do, from closing down the schools under false pretenses to forcing vaccines and masks, especially on children. It was ridiculous. 6 feet nonsense. Keep your distance. I still see those stupid stickers around. Remember, we should find that video that we did on the parody of the plastic and the 6 feet that America's frontline doctors did. So I hope people never forget. And if you're listening in, watching, let us know if there's a particular guest that you want us to have on. We've got Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up in an episode or two. We're in communication with Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s people. We're hoping to get him on. And we're still waiting for Charlie Kirk. And who knows, maybe we'll get President Trump to make an appearance on Informed Dissent. Let us know who you want to see. And Beth, our booker, will go after him like a Southern dog that she is, just relentless. So, Mark, great being with you on another episode. I look forward to the continued discussion and the fun that we have and the great interviews. And onward and upward.
Hell yeah.
You've been listening to Informed Dissent with Dr. Jeff Barkey, board-certified primary care physician, and Dr. Mark McDonald, board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist. Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics.